Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
The Lord has instructed me to minister on the subject of time. That's right. How many people can use a little more time management? You know, time is a very, very precious commodity. It is a symbol of our very own life. How we spend our time is how we spend our life. And since your life is valuable, time is valuable. How you spend your time is valuable. So over here in Colossians, the fourth chapter, verse 2, it says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." So notice here, verse 2 and 3, he's talking all about praying, prayer, prayer. Pray earnestly, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So important to pray with thanksgiving. That shows that you're praying in faith, because you don't get any more than you're thankful for. So if we just keep asking for things, but we're not thankful for what we already have, then we're really not praying from a good perspective. So we've got to make sure we have the faith perspective, which is being thankful to God for all he's doing, all that he's done for us, this great hope that we have in him of a wonderful future. So we want to be thankful as we come to him and ask for more, ask for direction, ask for guidance, and ask for whatever things we have need of. Also to pray for ministers, pray for your pastor. Pray that the word of God would be able to go forth without any hindrances. Then in verse 5, it says, "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time." Redeeming the time. Now, the word redeem means to retrieve, regain, recover, get back, reclaim, repossess, buy back. How many people wish they can buy back some time? They can reclaim and get some time back that they've lost. Well, the Bible says we can. The Bible says we can redeem the time. We can retrieve time. We can recover or get back time. Now notice, first of all, he says in verse 5, he says, "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside." Now when it's talking about walking in wisdom, walking, when it's talking about walking there, it's not talking literally about how you physically are to move across the land masses of life, but he's talking about being cautious and watchful. Especially around the unsaved, around the wicked, because that's what he says. He says, "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside." In other words, outside the body of Christ, outside the kingdom of God. You got to watch how you walk out in the world. You know, not everybody's got pure motives. And if people are on the outside of the kingdom of God, that means they're not right with God in their hearts. Things aren't right inside their hearts. And so you never really know fully what could be brewing in a person's heart. So we need, as Christians, we need to be watchful. We need to be slow to speak, quick to hear. And just watch how we conduct ourselves among people. I'm reminded of Psalm 39. Psalm 39 and verse 1, the psalmist said, "I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue." So you got to be slow to speak. I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me, or those who are outside or around me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. So even from saying positive things, good things, godly things, sharing your faith, sharing your testimony, you got to be led. You got to follow your heart and be led by the Spirit of God. And you don't want to just do things emotionally, just do things out of your flesh or as a knee-jerk reaction to something somebody else said or did. We've got to be sure that we are led by the Spirit and we are watchful. So therefore, we're cautious. We're prudent in the things that we do in life. In fact, just before I was flipping through the Bible, and I believe it was Proverbs 14, verse 7. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Some people you just got to walk away from. Not try to argue your case. Not try to straighten them out. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just walk away. Not get into it. Because sometimes people are foolish to the core. They're foolish in their hearts, and you're not going to change them. You're not going to be able to do anything for them. So you got to just move on. So we got to walk in the sense that we got to be cautious and watchful around the unsaved. We don't want to be hasty with our words or hasty in anything that we do. And again, this is all connected to redeeming the time. He says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Be prudent, be watchful, be cautious, redeeming the time. So again, a lot of times people waste time by wasting their words, saying things and doing things that it's not going to get them anywhere. It's just going to actually create more trouble. It's going to create more problems for them. Because they're just venting, they're just speaking from emotion, they're just reacting to certain circumstances and situations, and as a result of just reacting, they're actually not only wasting their time at that moment, but also creating more time that will be wasted because of the problems that they're actually creating and stirring up. So we got to not be hasty and rush into conversation, rush into things because we think this is what people need. This is what we think the people want, what somebody else might want. We want to make everybody happy. Everybody wants to make everybody happy because we all want to make everybody happy. But more than that, we want to make God happy and we want to do the right thing, right? And sometimes making people happy, you have to do things that might offend them at first. You might have to do some things that make it look like you could care less about it. But you do care. You do care. But you care for them by following the Lord, not by reacting to what you think they might want or what they think they want from you. So we got to be cautious. So if we'll just slow down in some areas and think before we act, we will find that we will conserve time. We will save time. We will save energy. And ultimately begin to regain time. Because now you're bringing God into it. You're bringing God into the flow. When you do things in the Spirit, man, you get supernatural results. You get double for your trouble. Are you hearing me? When you follow the Holy Spirit will cause the things that you put your hands to and do to be doubled, multiplied. Increased. So it goes much further than it ever could have gone if you just did this thing out of your own strength, according to your own wisdom. So by following God and yielding to the Spirit of God and not reacting to things in the flesh and being hasty and moving too quickly, we're bringing God into the situation and we're actually multiplying our work. Thus, multiplying time. Getting time back. It'll be like daylight savings time every day. Come on, somebody. We're talking about an extra hour every day. And what does it do for you? Well, you get extra sleep. You get extra rest. Huh? A little extra recreation. Hey, I can stay up a little extra hour. Right? Get some things done over here. You got that little extra time? You got that extra hour now? It's nice. How about hours? Could God do that? Could God cause your time to be so multiplied that you find that you have plenty of time left over? Huh? And all the time that you've wasted in the past is now being redeemed, in the sense that all the stuff that you've done in the flesh is now turning around for your good and for His glory, because now you're committing everything to Him. See, when you commit your now to Him, it brings your past to Him too, so that He redeems everything you've done. Right? Because when you come to Him and you're following Him and yielding to Him, you're giving Him your whole life. You're yielding yourself to Him. And God is a God who, He fills eternity. He is in the past, present, and future. He is the Alpha. And He is the Omega. And He is everything in between. So, man, you yield your life to Him and everything comes back to you. Glory to God. That you thought you lost, and areas where you messed up. Now all of a sudden, you know, you thought you're so messed up. But now all of a sudden you got tons and tons of favor in the sight of these people that you should have no favor with. You would have favor if you did everything right, but you didn't do everything right. But that's okay, you're doing everything right now, and God's redeeming the time for you, and now He's causing even your mistakes to turn around for your good. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. This is the supernatural Christian life that God has called us to. He wants us to have our time redeemed. He wants us to have excess time, plenty of time, to get done everything He's got for us. And of course, we have to watch our words. We have to watch what we say. We've got to watch about saying things like, where does the time go? I never have enough time. There's not enough hours in the day. Stop it. You're talking in the flesh. You're talking outside of faith. Get over here. Get in faith and speak what you believe, and let what you believe, what you're hearing today from the Word of God, that your God's a big God. He's a big God, and He's able to cause all your mistakes to turn around for your good and prosper you in such a way and give you such supernatural results that you have more than enough time. You have more than enough time. Can you say amen? Thank God. He's a God who helps us redeem the time. So we're walking cautiously. And by doing so, we'll find ourselves redeeming time. How many of you have heard the statement, haste makes waste? Waste. What are we talking about? We're talking about acting hastily, doing something in haste. What are we saying there? We're talking about thoughtless, rash, rushing around, lacking consideration in the things that we do in life. Thoughtless. People they're just running aimlessly, and they say things without really stopping and thinking about it. I think there's a lot of things we never would have said if we just thought about it. It's like, okay, so wait, stop. Before you say it. Where's this going to go? Where's this going to go? If you say this to this person, are they going to look at you and go, oh, you're right. I repent. You were right all along. You're so wonderful. Or are they just going to come back and say something thoughtlessly at you? Stop and think. Is this really going to bring about the results I want? Or is this just me trying to make myself feel better by venting my frustration? Huh? Say, hasty talk. Hasty words. Hasty actions. Thoughtless. Not putting much thought into what you're saying and to what you're doing. We don't want to be thoughtless, do we? We don't want to be thoughtless. Rash. Rushing around. Rush. Like in a frenzy, you know? You think of rushing, you think of somebody like, they're just in a frenzy. Well, we don't want to rush around in a frenzy, right? Because when you do, then you're not going to be considerate of others. You're gonna step over people, step on people, shove people out. Excuse me, I got to go. I'm in a rush. I got to hurry. Right? We're pushing people around. Actually, by doing that, we'll find ourselves losing time, losing progress, losing energy, not gaining much at all, causing actually more problems for ourselves. We need to be considerate of others in everything that we do. I know what you have to do is important. I know that. But hitting the accelerator and leaving smoke in grandma's face behind you, you know, that might not be the best thing for grandma. I'm just saying. We got to be considerate, you know? Have people ever, you know, you're in a rush, right, to go to the restaurant. And there's people going towards the restaurant door. And you're going towards the restaurant door. And suddenly the pace picks up. Who's going to get to that door of that restaurant first, right? And of course, it's Grandma Agnes and Ethel. And Ethel's trying to help Grandma Agnes, and they can only go so fast. And you get to the door, it's, excuse me, and you open it up for them. And you let them go in first. Ah, good. This is how you redeem the time. Because why? Because God will bless you for it. Because he said the first will be, and the last will be. Ah, yes. So you just moved yourself to the front row by preferring others. Now in the heat of the moment, we think being first in there is the way to go. But what you didn't know is that by rushing in there first, you got Waiter Charles. And Waiter Charles is new. And Waiter Charles doesn't like Christians who pray over their food. And so now you got Waiter Charles, and Charles, he dropped a whole tray of food. And next thing you know, you're sitting there, you cut off Agnes and Ethel, but you got Waiter Charles, and nothing seems to be going right for Waiter Charles. He's spilling stuff and taking forever to get your food. Finally, when he gets your food, it's been sitting in the window for 20 minutes. It comes out cold. You got to send the thing back. The steak's overcooked. It's well done. You asked for rare, but it sat there and cooked, just sitting there in the window. You're thinking, what is going on? How did we get this waiter? But little do you know, Ethel and Agnes, they're over here. And Ethel and Agnes, man, they're just, oh, this is wonderful. And they got Martha waiting on them. And you know how good Martha waits on people. And Martha's just, she's just laying it out there. And they're just, oh, it's delicious. They're enjoying themselves. The next thing you know, they're walking out, and you're still sitting there waiting for your food. And there goes Agnes and Ethel, and you're trying to figure out how. You're thinking they must just have had a soup and a salad. Surely they just had a soup and salad. But no, actually they ate a full four-course meal. Are we going to trust God with our life? Are we going to trust him to prosper us, to prosper our day, to prosper our lives, to cause us to be able to get the most out of life, the most out of our time in this world? We need to have faith in God, so we need to watch our attitude. We need to watch how we act. We need to always slow down and consider God. Consider him, and thus be considerate to others, because we know God is all about being considerate to others. Can you say amen? Now, this walking cautiously doesn't mean we shouldn't move quickly or swiftly to get things done in life. All right? Just about when you thought this meant just put your legs up, watch another football game, take it slow, take it slow. No. Now, there is a balance to these things. We're slow in the sense that we are cautious, we are prudent, we are considerate of others. But yet, there's another side to us that's very diligent, very quick, very sharp, and moves very, very swiftly in life. We aren't just to walk, but the Bible says a lot about us running. Running. Not rushing, but running. There's a difference between running and rushing. A lot of folks are rushing. Again, that's that being rash, thoughtless actions, just hasty decisions. That's where a lot of people are. It's like a frenzy. They're rushing. We're not to be doing that. No. Slow down. Count the cost. Consider God. Consider people. Be considerate of the situation. What does the Word of God say about it? You're going to have to take some time. You're going to have to smell the roses. You have to stand still sometimes and consider what's God doing? What wonderful works is He up to here? But yet, on the other hand, there's a moving. There's a moving very quickly, even to the point of running. Notice this over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Rushing is the result of being under pressure. Under pressure, hurrying, due to worrying, panicking in the flesh. We don't want to be panicking so that we're rushing and hurrying because the root of it is worrying. We don't want to be motivated by fear. Fear dominates those who are outside. Fear dominates this world. We're not letting fear dominate us. We're learning to walk and yield to the spirit of faith. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Can you say amen? So running is the result of being under pressure, and it's just hurrying due to worrying, panicking in the flesh. But a runner runs methodically, orderly, cautiously, with self-control and discipline. Isn't that right? You think about a runner, a marathon runner, or any other kind of runner, a sports runner. These people are very focused on their race that is before them, on how they run. I mean, they watch how they run. A lot of these people, they're very conscious of what they wear. If they're like going to be in some major running event, they watch how they wear. They watch what they eat. I think they load up on carbs the night before, you know, before a big run. But they're very conscious of their diet. There's a lot of stretching going on. They take their running very seriously. They put a lot of thought into it. They don't just take off and go. And you and I are to be spiritual runners because there is a race that is set before us. Notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?" Run. Everybody say run. Turn to somebody and tell them, say, run. All right? We got to get enough. So who's the Bible written to? You. Right? So back there in Colossians, he said to you what? Walk. Walk cautiously. Walk prudently. Walk watchfully. Concerning those who are outside. So he tells you to walk. But here he says to you, run. Run. Run in such a way that you may obtain it, that you may obtain the prize. There's a very methodical way to be running. There's some putting some thought into your running. Remember, rushing is rash and it's thoughtless. We're not rushing, but we ought to be running, and we're putting a lot of thought into our running. Not just doing something hastily reacting. We're very focused. He said, there's a certain way to run, so run that way. The way that causes you to obtain the prize. Verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. Or like my margin says, exercises self-control. Exercises self-control in all things. See, just like a runner, you know, their sleep habits affect their running. Oh, they're not running, they're sleeping. Yeah, but how they sleep is going to affect how they run. See, everything that a runner does affects their performance out there when they're running. So they've got to exercise self-control, not just when they're running, but in all things. When they sit down to eat, I mean, if they're going to be skillful and win at what they're doing and obtain the prize, then they're going to have to watch how they eat their food. Oh, they're not running, they're sitting at the table eating. Yeah, but there's a way they're sitting at the table eating. Why? Because they're focused on winning the race. Well, they're not running. Yeah, that doesn't matter. This is still key to them winning the race. Their sleeping and eating is still key to them winning the race. And all the other things that go on in a runner's life. They have to watch their activity. They got to watch how much they train. They got to watch how much they work and how much they play. Because you can overwork. You can burn yourself out so that by the time the race comes, you're worn out. You're burned out. Your muscles are already, you're already fatigued. Because you just, the day before, you were pushing yourself. Now you're all fatigued. No, you needed to take some R&R. You needed to rest a little bit. You need to allow your muscles to recover. I can't let them recover. I got to win this race. I got to get out there. I got to train. You got to calm down. You're in panic mode. And panicking people don't win in life. You're not going to win in life if you're panicking. You better know how to slow down and stand still and be calm and get some rest, get some R&R. Even mentally, people can get so fatigued mentally. You got to know how to pull your mind off of something. Go take a walk, right? Go do something else. Get your mind cleared again. Reboot your system so you can come back and really put that much more into what you're doing, into your training. But you see, that's all key to winning in the race of life. Key to winning at running. It's even when you're not running. Very kind. So you exercise self-control in all things. Now they do it. These natural athletes, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. How many people know you and I are to be reaching for eternal things? Does anybody have any spiritual goals? I have the goal to lose weight, and I have the goal to retire at such and such an age, and I have a goal. Okay, and what's all that for? Huh? Well, what's all that for? I mean, so you can retire to do what? Huh? Lose weight so you could do what? I could look nice on Facebook. Okay. And then? Is there any more depth to any of these things? Are we looking beyond just looking good? I mean, that's great. Look good. Feel good. Nice. Is that the end of it? I mean, is that your ultimate goal in life? Is to just look good and feel nice? And have nice stuff? It should not be. You and I should have spiritual goals out in front of us. We're here to glorify God. We're here to glorify God. We're here to fulfill the very purpose for our being here on this planet. There's a purpose for your being here on planet Earth. You're not an accident. God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And he predestined you with a plan in mind. He has a purpose for your life. And I don't want to hear about all the woes of the past and how you've messed up here and messed up there. What are you doing now? God's able to turn all that around for your good, friend. And for his glory, he's able to take your mess and make a masterpiece out of it. We're talking about God here. He turns water into wine.
He causes dead things to live. That's who we're talking about. Don't tell me about your past. What are you doing now? What are you reaching for? Let's talk about your future. What kind of goals do you have set for your life? May it ultimately be to glorify God in everything and to manifest His word, manifest His character, manifest His nature in everything that we do in life. We want to prosper so that we can become a greater blessing and we can do more. Everything God gives us is for His glory, and to be able to do more, accomplish more for Him. We got a lot to do and a little time to do it on this earth. This life is passing away. This life is but a vapor. And we've got a lot to do. We're going to need supernatural help. And thank God, with God, we'll have more than enough time. The time in the natural is passing away. There's no doubt about that. But in God, we can redeem time. We can have more than enough time. Why? Because we're having supernatural results in everything that we're doing in life. Because we're reaching for a supernatural life. Because we're looking to glorify God in and through our life. We're not just looking for a natural, carnal, fleshly life. That's a pathetic life. Man, we're looking for that day where we stand before the Master. It's going to be here before you know it. You stand before the Master, and there He is. And now your whole life is brought up before Him. Thank God for the stuff that's washed in the blood of Jesus. But all that other stuff is brought up before Him. Huh? Come on. It's all brought up before Him. And how you've been living your life, and all the things that you've been doing for God, and all the hurdles you have leaped over and overcome. And even when you fell, you just turned it into a roll and leaped back on your feet and kept moving. You didn't sit there and feel like it was over because you had faith in God. Hallelujah. And you kept leaping over those hurdles to bless God. You started leaping over walls and running against a troop. Just like King David. Amen? Come on, there's things to conquer. There's things to take hold of. We got to subdue the devil's kingdom. We got to subdue demons, cast out devils, free captives, heal the sick. Come on, we got to bring light and liberty to the lost. This is our time. I said, this is our time. We only get one shot down here. We're not going to waste our time. We're going to waste our life. We're not going to waste our resources and waste our energies on wasteful living. We're not just living for the carnal. We're not just living for the flesh. We're living our lives unto God and for His glory. Can you say amen? Woo! There's things to do for God, man. Things to do for God. And if there's things to do for God, then we got to get busy. I said it's time to get busy. It's time to get moving. Right? We got to pick up the pace and get going. And get running, get running, get running for God, running for God, running for God, running this race. He says, run, verse 26. Thus, not with uncertainty, not knowing what you're doing, get educated. You know, sometimes you gotta stop and get educated in the Word. I know you're busy, and you gotta run. There's a lot to get done. But friend, the key to you getting things done correctly and getting done what really needs to get done, you're going to need to what? You're going to need to be able to stop, sit down, and wait on God and learn the kind of life He has for you. Learn of His plan for your life. He's got a plan. Learn His plan. Learn His ways. He said, man, I feel like I gotta get moving. I gotta get moving. I mean, there's lots to do. There's things I gotta accomplish. But if you go running out and do what you do with uncertainty, you're not really certain. You're not really sure about what you're doing. You know, well, is this right? Yeah, it's right. Until something goes wrong, then you think, well, why did this go wrong? Am I doing the right thing? Right? A lot of folks, they talk confident until something goes wrong, and then it's like, oh, well, Maybe I'm not supposed to be here. Maybe I'm not supposed to be done. See, that's just having confidence in the flesh, which only lasts as long as your conditions are good. But as soon as adversity rises up, now we start second-guessing everything. That's not a good place to be. In the middle of something, second-guessing whether or not you should even be in this thing or not. I don't know if I should ever have married them. I don't know if I ever should have come here. I don't know if I should ever have done that. That's a terrible place to be. You're sitting there so uncertain about everything. But faith is certain. Faith is certain. When I started this church 23 years ago, I was certain. I didn't ask for this. I wasn't looking for this. Oh, but he called me to it. He told me to do it. And he only had to tell me once. He told me it 23 years ago. He told me to go start this church here in Louisville, Kentucky. He told me that 23 years ago. He has never had to say it again. He didn't have to, every 6 months. Now you stay here. Stay here. Lord, it don't look like I should be here. Stay here. Lord, should I be here? I don't know if I should be here. The people are looking pretty mean. We've had some people leave. Should I be here? It didn't matter if everybody left except my wife. It didn't matter. Now, if she left, I don't know what we'd do. Then I'd have to go back. I'd have to go back to the factory, talk to the Lord. But anyhow. But, you know, it didn't matter. I'd preach to the walls, praise God, because I'm here. I'm right in my place doing what God's called me to do. I don't judge things according to my circumstances, according to other people and what they're doing. I'm going to follow God and do what he's told me to do. And that'll cause you to weather storms. That'll cause you to be able to overcome hurdles. That'll cause you to become stronger in life. Because you know where you are and you're planted and there's no moving, so that when stuff comes against you, you're not getting blown over. You're not getting moved out of your place. You just get strong. Your roots just learn to get stronger and tougher. And you get to the point where you're not moved. You're just solid as a rock. Amen. Because you have certainty about where you are and what you're doing. People run out into the day so uncertain. They start going through the day, and a few things go wrong. They're not working out. It's like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. God, are you trying to get me a message? Are you trying to show me that I'm not supposed to? Because if I'm supposed to be doing this, surely it would all be working out great. Well, in some things, that might be the case. That's not in the case in everything. But yeah, and sometimes in the middle of the thing, you better start considering whether you're supposed to be doing that or not, and you might need to go back and get this thing turned around, get out of that. You might not have belonged in that thing altogether. So don't just keep going and say, well, pastor talked about don't second guess yourself, so I'm just going to stick it out. No, don't be double stupid. Just because you were already stupid once to get in the thing, don't be double stupid and stay in the thing. Right? Have the sense to stop, turn around, and get out. Thank God you can. So sometimes, many times, oftentimes, you have to stop and you have to spend time with the creator of your day. How many people know the Bible does not say, this is the day David has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say it. It says, this is the day that Margaret made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. It doesn't say that. This is the day who made? The Lord made it. Yes. Get your instructions from him. Get your instructions from him. This is the day you made, Lord. You made it. You allowed me to be here. Precious. Wow. Thank you for this day. Thank you for leading me, guiding me. Now you establish my thoughts. You teach me. And I'm just going to take some time right now in your word, because that's you establishing my thoughts. I'm going to take some time in prayer, and I'm going to just spend some time in worship here, and I'm going to wait on you, and I'm going to slow myself down. There's a lot of things I'm excited about doing, a lot of exciting things to get done today. I'm going to wait on you, and I'm going to slow down, so that when I do get going, I go with certainty. I go with confidence. And so that when I get going, no matter what comes against me, I keep on going. Because I know I'm going in God. I'm going in the plan of God for my life. I'm going in the will of God. I'm not just out here doing my own thing in the flesh. Yeah, we're not always running. But everything that we're doing is affecting how we will run when we run.
Sometimes we need to be waiting. Waiting on the Lord and becoming certain about the direction for our life. Certain about the direction for our life. He says, therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. There's a lot of folks out there beating the air. They're out there just beating the air. Now, they don't think they are. But I got news for you. If you're just out there in the flesh, rushing, acting hastily, rushing into things, you're just beating the air. You're not really accomplishing anything. In a lot of cases, you're just making more of a mess. Now, it doesn't look that way. In the natural, they work so hard. They keep going. They got three jobs. They're going from morning to night. They're not stopping for anybody. They can't be at church because they're going. They're just going. They work so hard. They're wonderful people. And they might not be so wonderful. In the eyes of God, they might look really ridiculous. In the natural, it looks like, man, they get up, they go to work, and they work and work and work. But in the spirit, it looks like this. You walk up to them and say, what are you doing? I'm beating the air. Just beating the air. Just beating the air. Just beating the air. Well, what are you doing that for? You know you won't win. You know, you can't win at beating the air. The air will beat you every time. I got news for you. You will wear out before the air does. The air is just sitting there. That's the air. Yeah. You know. And you're... You know, the air just... You getting this? I hope this is helping somebody. I'm going through a lot of trouble to help illustrate this. And finally, at the end of your day, you're... I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm a slave to this job. I'm a slave to these people. And I'm just worn out. Worn out. And the air is still sitting there blowing. You didn't affect the air at all. The air's going to be there tomorrow. You might not. You might be dead. I mean, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the guys beating the air. People that are beating the air are just beating themselves to death. They're wearing themselves out. They're just wearing themselves out. They're beating themselves to death, wearing themselves out, aging themselves prematurely, wearing themselves down. No, that's not God's will. I said that's not God's will. When you're running for God, oh, it's refreshing. It's renewing. It's restoring. It's reviving. Hallelujah. I don't get all these folks that were in the ministry and are burned out today. I can't figure that one out. Well, I know what it is, but that's not me. Man, I get more refreshed. I've heard people say, now, the job of a preacher. You get up there, 1 hour of preaching is worth so many hours of hard work out there in the factory. I've heard all kinds of things. I think, well, my Lord, don't feel like that. It's kind of refreshing and revigorating when you do it with the anointing. When you do it by the Spirit of God. And that goes for anything in life. There's no burning out, man. There's no burning out if you keep getting filled up with oil as you're going. Huh? God just keeps pouring the oil in. The gears are all oiled up. Everything's just going. There's nothing smoking. There's nothing squealing and burning. You know? Get around some people, go. Sounds like something's burning. Something's burning. It's them burning themselves out, just wearing themselves out. Don't burn yourself out. Keep allowing God to replenish you, revive you. It's so fulfilling to know that you're doing the will of God for your life. It don't matter what it is. Like the psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. How do I be a doorkeeper? See, it doesn't matter what it is. The position isn't really it. It isn't the position that does it for you. It doesn't matter the position. Men will glorify positions. It doesn't matter the position. It's just knowing you're in your place. Whatever that position is, it doesn't matter because you're in your place. You're in the place he's called you to. You're doing what he's called you to do. There's no second guessing. There's no double-mindedness. You know this is where God has led you. You know you're doing the will of God from your heart. Oh, man. That is so rewarding and peaceful to know that you're in the very place that you're supposed to be in at the very time in life that you were created to be there, fulfilling what God has called you to. Woo, man. Man, I'm seated in the seat that God has personally called me to sit in. I remember the first time I felt that is when God called me out to go to Bible school out in Oklahoma. And first day of school, you know, you get your seating chart, you know, your assigned seat, your assigned classroom, they assigned everything, the classroom, the teacher, and the very seat you sit in. You didn't just go in and find a seat. You had a seat, assigned seat. So I'm trying to find a classroom. You know, I'm not familiar with the campus. So I'm looking around and I find a class. I go up there, and I remember I found my seat, and I went over, and I remember the seat, man. And I sat down and counted how many seats, and I sat down in that seat. And I, when I sat in a seat, this overwhelming sense that I was right where I was supposed to be in the perfect will at the perfect time for my life. And it just felt great. You're in your purpose. You're in your place. It didn't matter what I was doing. I mean, that in itself right there is so refreshing and so life-strengthening. It puts such confidence in you, just knowing that, such peace in knowing that. So many people, they have no idea where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to do. They're reacting to everything in life, and they're just like waves of the sea. Just they're tossed and driven by the wind. The wind just blows them around. They're just tossed, and they're driven, and they're just frustrated, and they're in one moment, they're out the next, they're up one moment, they're down the next. Their emotions are controlling their life. People are controlling their life. It's just, and all that is turmoil, inner turmoil and frustration and anxiety and fear that's just going on the inside of their hearts is just like the waves of the sea, just tossed and driven. It's an awful place to be, and yet they have a good job. They got what seems like a good family. They got nice stuff. Everything's good for them in the natural, but inside, it's just stormy. It's full of all kinds of confusion and anxiety and frustration. And so even though everything looks good on the outside and they should have peace and they seem happy on the outside, on the inside, there's no peace. There's no peace. And true peace starts on the inside. True life and liberty and freedom all starts in our spirit. What's going on inside you? You'd be amazed just knowing you're in your place. How strengthening that is. How that'll affect your life. See, because people are going wrong in life, and you look and you think, you know, everything seems good, but then you think, well, what's their problem? Why do they treat people like that? Why are they always on the edge? Why are they frustrated? Why do they snap like that? Why do they do that? Why? Because you can't see it, but uncertainty, not knowing, is on the inside. And even though it seems like prosperity on the outside, uncertainty on the inside keeps their lives draining them, keeps them being drained, keeps them constantly being drained of life. Drained of life, thus wasting their time in life, just out beating the air. But verse 27 says, I discipline my body, I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I bring my body into subjection. You know, the ultimate goal is not preaching. The ultimate goal is not just having a service today. The ultimate goal is not coming to church today. You came to church. You accomplished your purpose. No, that's not the purpose. You came to church with a purpose, to fulfill an ultimate goal, which is what? Which is to walk in the perfect will of God for your life, walk by faith, walk in the glory of God, and bring glory and honor and praise to Him. That's the ultimate goal. So if we just stop with, well, I went to church, I preached the gospel, I heard the gospel, then we've just wasted our time. We've done what we've done in vain. A lot of people live their life in vain. Live their life in vain. Psalm 39, verse 4. It says, Lord, make me to know my end And what is the measure of my days? In other words, how much time do I have? How much time do I have? Make me to know. That I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best, at his best state, is but a vapor. Sila. That means stop and think about that. Every man at his best state is a vapor. Talking about in the flesh. Just in the natural. Man's best in the natural, in the carnal, in the physical, is just but a vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. You know, if people just see-led that, just sat down and really did think about that, you know, if people would change the way they're living their life right there. I mean, that's how I got saved. I just, one day, you know, I had it going good. I was raised in a nice family, and, you know, we always had good things. And I had my own business. I was in partnership with my brother. And that was doing good. I had a very nice car. I had some good friends, good girlfriend at the time. I had it going on, you know, had this business. But I had this sense and this feeling of emptiness. And I was like, there's got to be more to life than just this. See, there was something deeper inside of me that cried out. And said, and I actually said, I remember where I was standing. I said, I looked up into the sky. I wasn't saved at the time. And I said, there's got to be more to this life than just getting up, going to work, working for the weekend, going out, having a good time, and coming back and going to work again. There's got to be more to this. It was like this, I saw the world in this terrible rut. Just in this terrible rut. I said, there's got to be more to this. And that's all it took. That's all it took. My heart opened up and began to reach out for answers. And glory to God, thank God answers came. Revelation came of the divine purpose of God for my life. Jesus. Jesus. He is my purpose. He is your purpose in this life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is. Huh? He is the life. Glory to God. Now you can look at me and say, he's got the life. Right? Can you say that about yourself? I got the life. What's that? Jesus. It's a lot of, in the world, they think it's a lot of money. That ain't it. Got news for you. People in the world that have a lot of money, they don't have the life. They just got a lot of money. They just got a lot of things. And a lot of people got a lot of misery. Waves of the sea, tossed and driven, miserable on the inside. Can't settle, can't calm the storms of life on the inside of them, in their souls. Miserable on the inside. But they got what looks to be the life. That's not the life. Jesus is the life. When you got him, you got the life, man. Whoo, glory be to God. Your past begins to get redeemed. Your whole life is redeemed. Your whole life is redeemed. You get your whole life back with Jesus. You got to stay with Jesus. He's a redeemer. I said he's a redeemer. He redeemed our life and he does redeem our life. And he will redeem our life. He'll redeem it. He'll redeem it. Praise God. He'll buy it all back. And he'll keep you from wasted time. He'll keep you from sitting in a hospital bed sick and wounded. He'll keep you from being burned out. He'll keep you from being in spending years in a cemetery when you were supposed to be out there in the world just living it up with Jesus, doing the things of God, doing what he called you to do. But you got an extra 10 years in the tomb before you were supposed to be there, 20 years, 30 years, whatever. People wasting time running. Why? So you can waste time in the cemetery? You know, I've illustrated this before, but, you know, it's sad but true. But you see, you know, people are in a rush, rush, rush. Remember, not running, just rushing. Rush, 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 rash, rash, rush, rush, rush. Hasty, got to go, got to go. Got somebody, I'm so busy, so busy, busy. And then here comes a funeral procession.
and everything has to stop. I gotta wait. Oh, I can't believe it. It's like you know, catching the train. You know, you're rushing along and the gates come down. No, and it's the longest train in the world, right? So you start counting the cars. How many cars? It just keeps going, right? Here comes that funeral procession. Yeah. You look and you see a mile of headlights. You think, no. But you got to calm down. You got to be respectful for the dead and the families, you know. So there they go. You know, they go by. You're thinking, come on, stiff. Get out of the way. I got places to go and people to see. I'm a very busy man. I got time to sit here and watch a stiff go by. Finally, they pass and you take off. Rush into the office, you run around at work. Next thing you know, something happens. And a week later, you're dead. And they put you in a casket. And there's this big procession. And everybody puts their lights on for you. All your family and friends got their lights on. They're following you. And as you go by this one intersection, there's a guy over there looking, going, come on, Stiff! I got places to go and people to see! And there you go. And the race goes on. But that's the rat race. I said, that's the rat race. And that's being a speed demon. You're not to be a speed demon in the rat race of life. I said, you're not to be a speed demon in the rat race of life. Come on. You're a child of God. You have a purpose. You have a focus. And you have peace. Because, you know, he's the author and the finisher of this thing. And your trust is in him. But you're excited about serving him. And you're ready to rise up in the morning, put on a shout, put on your garment of praise, get busy, get in the word of God, seek him while he may be found, get some certainty about your life, and get up and go and work with all diligence, being thoughtful concerning the plan of God and the people that he's called you to help all around you. Caring for others, loving others, taking care of the business God has given you to be, given you to accomplish. You're not idle. You're not passive. You're not just letting life pass by. Whatever happens, happens. Let's play another video game. Let's watch another movie, Margaret. Let's just waste our time in worthless living and just watch our days go by. No, friend, you got work to do. I said, you got work to do, and you need to get busy. You got a race to run, and God himself commands you to run. He says, run. Run this race, praise God. But in order to run it, you're going to have to walk. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to do what you need to do. You're going to have to exercise self-control in all things so that you can finish what God's called you to do. And you can stand before him and hear the words, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. Now enter into retirement. No. No. Now be ruler over much. Hallelujah. I got much more for you to do. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because the work of the Lord, he can keep piling it on, bless God, but it won't burn you out. It'll just fill you up because the more work he gives you to do, the more of his grace, his anointing, and his power he places on your life to fulfill it. And oh, bless God, when that anointing comes on your life, woo, hallelujah. You'll run against a troop, leap over a wall, hallelujah. And you'll be refreshed and revitalized. Oh, Lord, give me more to do. Give me more to do. Help me to get done what I need to get done so I can do more. I got a work for God to do. Because I know in that I get more of him. More of his grace to get it done. Because like it says over in Thessalonians, he calls you to it, but he himself will do it. His grace working through your life will get it done. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.